Welcome to the Deep Dive. Before we jump in today, a quick thank you to our supporter, SafeServer. SafeServer handles software hosting, and they're really focused on supporting your digital transformation. So if you're looking for reliable hosting, you can check them out at www.safeserver.de. Okay, so today, we're embarking on a mission that feels a bit, well, bit sci-fi, maybe.
Definitely leans that way. We're looking at Elato AI.
Right. And the core idea is taking sophisticated conversational AI, like really advanced stuff, and getting it out of the screen, out of your phone or computer.
And into physical things, specifically toys, plushies even.
It sounds simple, but the sources suggest this is way beyond just a talking toy.
Exactly. We're going to break down how they're trying to merge the hardware, the software, and these really distinct AI personalities. Mm. The goal seems to be making these interactions feel hyper-realistic.
That's the hook, isn't it? The source material literally says they're giving plushies voices that feel ridiculously real.
Yeah.
It made me think of that movie, Ted, The Talking Teddy Bear.
Right, but imagine that powered by actual live cutting-edge AI.
That's kind of wild, and that's what we're diving into.
It's sort of the next step for digital companions, moving them into the physical world.
Okay, let's start with the basics. The hardware, for anyone maybe new to this kind of tech, what is the Elato device, physically?
Well, at its heart, it's a small gadget, an IoT client, technically. Yeah. It's got the microphone, it's got the speaker, but the clever part is how it attaches.
Okay.
It uses two simple silicone straps, so you can clip it onto pretty much any toy you already have.
Oh, right. So you don't need to buy their specific toy?
Nope. That old teddy bear in the attic.
Yeah.
Suddenly it can have, you know, a brain and a voice.
That flexibility seems like a big deal.
It really is. And the setup sounds incredibly simple, aimed at, well, anyone. No tech skills needed.
How simple are we talking?
Like three steps simple. First, clip the device onto the toy.
Okay.
Second, connect it to your home Wi-Fi. It uses what's called a captive portal.
Uh-huh. Like when you connect at a hotel?
Exactly that. It makes its own little network temporarily to guide you. Super easy.
And third,
pick a character personality from their list and just start talking to it.
Wow. Okay. Now, I saw there are actually two different products mentioned.
Yeah, they're catering to slightly different people. There's the main AI device.
That's the consumer one.
Right. Pre-order price mentioned was $69. That gets you the device, access to all the AI characters unlimited, apparently, and a free month of their premium subscription. It's the plug-and-play version.
And the other one?
For tinkerers. That's the AI dev kit.
Mm-hmm.
A bit cheaper, $59 on pre-order. This one's really for developers, makers, people who want to mess around with it.
How so?
It has open source firmware, runs over a standard USB-C connection, and lets you load your own custom voices or even your own AI models if you want.
Mm-hmm.
Much more flexible if you're technically inclined.
Gotcha. And practical things. Battery life. Is this thing always plugged in?
Apparently not. They claim a week of battery life, which is pretty good. Makes it actually portable.
Yeah, that's essential if it's meant to be a companion. And I saw something about community support.
Uh-huh. Over 1,200 stars, they said, which suggests there's already a decent buzz around it. People are interested.
That early engagement is usually a good sign.
Definitely shows people are intrigued by the idea.
Yeah.
And maybe even want to build on it themselves.
Okay, let's shift gears. The hardware is neat, but the sources really emphasize the personalities, the who. This seems to be where Elato really tries to stand out.
Absolutely. This isn't just about making a toy talk. It's about giving it a very specific, often complex character. They mention over 100 AI characters available.
100? And they're not just slight variations.
Yeah, not at all. The examples they give are incredibly diverse. They seem to be leaning into strong personalities, even flawed ones, not just helpful assistant.
Okay, give us some examples. What kind of range are we talking?
Well, you've got the comforting, nostalgic types.
Mm.
Like Dottie Mae.
Dottie Mae.
Yeah, described as a classic Southern diner waitress. Uses terms like hun, sweetie, gives unsolicited advice, recommends the pie, pure comfort food in voice form, basically.
Okay, so that's one end. What about the other end?
Oh, they go there. Dramatic, flamboyant characters. There's Captain Starflash, is a super overconfident space captain who thinks lasers solve everything.
Right.
Or Dr. Voltanis, the classic mad scientist. Full of manic energy, apparently shouts catchphrases. Think loud thunder effects.
So you could clip this onto, like, a superhero toy or something.
Exactly. Or maybe something completely incongruous for comedic effect.
And what about more thoughtful characters?
Yep. They mentioned Paradox Pythias, an ancient Greek philosopher type.
Sounds wise.
Wise, but also apparently kind of smug. He answers your deep questions with even deeper, possibly more annoying questions. Makes you think, but maybe grinds your gears a little.
Okay, this is where that uncensored aspect might come in too, right? The comedy.
Take Sugar Plum. The description is fascinating.
Hold on.
Speaks in a super sweet, bubbly, childlike voice. Sounds innocent.
God.
But apparently drops comments so dark it makes Satan clutch his pearls.
Whoa. Okay, that's a choice.
It's intentional friction, right? That contrast creates shock value, makes it memorable. It's not trying to be bland.
And they seem to lean into existing pop culture stuff, too. I saw Ted mention.
Yeah, Ted the Inappropriate Teddy.
Yeah.
Clearly referencing the movie character. Boston accent, barfly mouth. Can you imagine where that goes?
Uncensored indeed. Any other specific types?
Loads. They mentioned Mikey Sally Sullivan, hardcore Boston guy, swearing, rants. Then there's the proper British lad.
What's his deal?
Judges your tea-making skills, apologizes constantly if you bump into him. Very specific cultural niche.
It seems like they're aiming for very defined archetypes.
Totally. And it's not just comedy or stereotypes. They even list Zoran Mamdani.
The political activist.
Yeah, described as empathetic, focused on social equity and justice. So the range covers serious and specific viewpoints too, not just jokes.
So the strategy isn't just make a friend, it's pick a very specific, memorable character.
Exactly. Depth and distinctiveness over just being generally agreeable. You clip it on, you get that personality fully formed.
Which brings us neatly to the how. We know the device, we know who these wild personalities. How does the tech actually pull this off in real time, making a toy have a continuous, natural conversation globally? That sounds hard.
It is hard. The key seems to be what the source calls real-time speech-to-speech conversion. We're talking potentially up to 15 minutes of uninterrupted chat.
15 minutes? Wow. How?
They use what the source referred to as a brain trust. They're not relying on just one AI model.
Ah, okay. So they're pulling from multiple sources. Which ones?
Yeah. It's quite a list of the big names right now. OpenAI's real-time API, Google's Gemini Live API, 11 Labs AI agents, and also Hume AI EVI4.
Four different ones. Why so many? Wouldn't that be complicated?
It probably is. But the idea is that each model has strengths. Maybe one is faster, one sounds more natural, one is better at catching emotional cues. By using several, they can kind of pick the best tool for the job for each part of the conversation or blend them. It helps keep the latency low and the quality high, like hedging your bets.
That makes sense. Redundancy and optimization. Okay, for someone listening who isn't a developer, can we simplify the architecture? You mentioned a triangle earlier.
Yeah, think of it as three core pieces working together really fast. First, you've got the device itself, the IoT client, that ESP32 thing we talked about clipped to the toy. It just captures your voice and plays the AI's voice, sends the audio securely using WebSockets.
Okay, piece one, the ears and mouth on the toy.
Exactly. Piece two is the edge server. This runs on something called Dino. Think of it as the super fast traffic controller or router.
Why edge?
It means it's located geographically close to you and also close to the big AI models. Its whole job is to grab the audio from the toy, instantly fire it off to the right AI service like Gemini or 11 Labs, get the response back, and zap it straight to the toy's speaker. Minimizes delay.
Got it. The middleman ensuring speed. And the third piece.
That's the front end. Basically, the website or app you use, built with Next.js. This is where you choose your characters, maybe create custom ones, adjust the volume, that kind of thing.
Ah, and I saw you can tweak the pitch.
Yeah, the pitch factor. So you could take a serious character's voice and make it sound high-pitched and cartoonish if you wanted. More customization.
Okay, so the whole thing relies on speed. If there's a big delay, it ruins the illusion of conversation. What kind of performance are they claiming?
The numbers are pretty impressive, especially for a global system. They're aiming for under 2 seconds round-trip latency.
Under 2 seconds?
Uh-huh.
From you speaking to hearing the reply.
Yeah, which is generally fast enough to feel pretty conversational, not like a walkie-talkie.
And the audio quality. Does right. It sound clear?
They mentioned using the Opus codec at 12 kilobps, which, in non-technical terms, means it should sound pretty clear and crisp, even though they're keeping the data rate low for speed.
Okay, one more tech thing. How does it know when I've finished talking? Do I have to press a button?
No, and that's crucial. They use something called server VAD voice activity detection.
Server VAD.
Right. Instead of the little device trying to guess, the powerful server analyzes the audio stream in real time. It figures out precisely when you've naturally paused or finished speaking.
Ah, so it makes turn-taking much smoother.
Exactly. Less awkward silence, fewer interruptions. Key for making it feel real. Plus, they mentioned OTA updates.
Over the air.
Yeah. It means the software on the device can be updated automatically over Wi-Fi. so it can get better over time without you needing to plug it into a computer.
Okay, so putting it all together, it's quite an ambitious project. Merging these very specific, sometimes wild personalities with hardware that enables smooth, fast conversation.
It really is. The big takeaway seems to be shifting AI interaction away from just typing in a box.
And into a physical object you can actually talk with. Like, really talk with.
Whether you want that companion to be a nurturing waitress like Dottie Mae, or a sarcastic philosopher, or, well, an inappropriate teddy bear.
Right. It's that customization delivered through a physical form. So the final thought for you listening. The source emphasizes this device has no filters, no rules. We have the tech now to give an innocent-looking plushie a voice that could be, well, deliberately offensive like Ted, or shockingly dark like Sugar Plum, or maybe even politically charged.
Hmm.
If digital companionship becomes totally personalized and unrestrained, what does that mean? What happens when we start designing companions not to be helpful or polite, but maybe unhinged, provocative, something to think about as this tech develops? Well, that's all we have time for on this deep dive, and thanks again to our supporter, SafeServer. Remember, they handle software hosting and support digital transformation. You can find out more at www.safeserver.dee. Until next time, keep digging into the sources.